Enlightenment, the age and its art. When the 18th century began, the robust vigor of the grand style of Louis XIV was diminishing. By the end of the 18th century, America and Europe were caught up in the passions of revolution, which were to end 3 centuries of absolute monarchy. The Enlightenment grew out of the age of Louis in the 17th century and led to the era of revolutions at the end of the 18th century. To understand the Enlightenment as a style of life and of art, we must understand its heritage and foundation in the Baroque. The grandiose Baroque style of the 17th century, its flamboyance and drama, gave way in the 18th century to the light-hearted Rococo. Rococo art was decorative, the last phase in a long history of artistic embellishments for the nobility. It was an expression of the refined tastes of the aristocracy. To these people, life was beautiful and gay. They wanted more than anything to enjoy themselves, to give pleasure to their friends, and to collect the luxurious objects which made them feel gay, rich, and important. However, the Rococo style represents only one aspect of the 18th century art. Some of the most important ideas of the time were not expressed by the Rococo style. Instead, these ideas could be found expressed in the geometric, rigidly symmetrical, and formal plans of the palaces and gardens of Europe. The artistic father for these splendid palaces and gardens was the greatest palace of the 17th century, Versailles. Louis XIV made Versailles into a splendid stage for his personal theatrical production, The Absolute Rule of France. Dazzling in their vastness, the palace and grounds were planned in such a way that King Louis seemed to be imposing geometric order upon his world. The buildings, fountains, and garden paths all spread outward from the center in precise and measured harmony. In every foot of their manicured hedges, the grounds of Versailles express the idea that man controls his world through reason and intellect. What greater control over nature could man demonstrate than this? It is a garden of tropical orange trees, all planted in pots, so that they could be brought indoors in cool weather. This indeed was man creating an orderly universe. Versailles is a combination of two great intellectual and artistic traditions. The splendor and dramatic scale of the 17th century, along with the geometric order of that century. The reign of Louis XIV represents the triumph of absolute monarchy. His success was so dazzling that all the princes of Europe wanted to imitate him. Gorgeous palaces and gardens were built throughout France, Germany, and England. The aristocracy of all of Europe spoke French and followed French customs and dress. They sponsored whole armies of artists who could make gorgeous objects like those they had seen at Versailles. Let us go back in time to look at the two major traditions and styles of the 17th century. The Baroque vision of the world expressed itself with an art that was dramatic, flamboyant, dynamic, stupendous in scale, and filled with restless, swirling, curving, and diagonal forms. Another face of Baroque art in the 17th century was turned toward a world of calm intellect and order. On the left is the painter Peter Paul Rubens, and on the right is another painter, Nicolas Poussin. What do these two self-portraits show us about the Baroque age? Rubens uses sweeping circles and ellipses to generate a sense of action in his composition. Poussin, on the other hand, fills his background with vertical and horizontal lines. He sets himself against rectangular picture frames, thereby giving his composition an orderly, geometric appearance. In this Baroque landscape, the sky is filled with a stormy turbulence. The land is dramatically shadowed by the threatening clouds. Poussin's world is populated by the heroes and buildings of classical Greece and Rome. His landscapes are calm, reasonable, and orderly. Is this not nature succumbing to the artist's rational control? It was the dramatic and flamboyant in the Baroque which developed into the Rococo style. On the other hand, the worldview of intellect and order was also carried on into the Age of Enlightenment. During the 17th century, great discoveries in the sciences opened up new areas of knowledge. Galileo, the astronomer, built a telescope in 1609. With it, he could see that the planets had substance, like the Earth, and that the stars were much farther away than man had thought. Isaac Newton explained all movement on the Earth and in the heavens according to a mathematical formula. In this way, the rigid order of a mathematical proof was imposed on human existence. The 17th century scientists made the discoveries. It was for the 18th century writers, known as philosophes, like Denis Diderot, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and Voltaire, to popularize the difficult theories of the scientists. The philosophes made the new marvels of science understandable and exciting for everyone. One of the most significant accomplishments of the philosophes was the publishing of an encyclopedia. Denis Diderot was the editor. He gathered articles on every subject, written by experts, thus creating in his 34-volume encyclopedia a collection of all the knowledge of the time. The encyclopedia was important as a reference work. It was also important because it expressed throughout its pages the belief that all knowledge was within man's grasp, and that with knowledge, man could create a better world for himself. Men of the Enlightenment were dissatisfied with traditional ideas and religions. They rejected what they felt to be the old religious superstitions and filled their need for faith with a profound belief in the perfectibility of man through reason. The confidence of 18th century man was boundless. Never before or since has there been such a widespread and profound belief in man and his ability to make progress towards a better life. The Enlightenment faith in reason and perfection is reflected in one of the most significant movements in the arts, called academicism. Academicism included a respect for authority. Artists and architects relied upon rules and principles that were rigidly enforced by the heads of the academies in England and France. Poussin was such an academic authority under Louis XIV. His Shepherds in Arcadia shows the contrived composition and classical subject matter, which were so highly regarded by the academic painters of the 17th and 18th centuries. Obviously, the most important yardstick for the French academics was the art of classical antiquity, the art of the ancients. The civilization of the Greeks and Romans was looked upon as a model and was translated into formulas for art. Nature was seen mainly through the eyes of classical reason and order. Joshua Reynolds, a famous English painter of the 18th century, wrote, "We must have recourse to the ancients as instructors. It is from a careful study of their works that you will be able to attain to the real simplicity of nature." We have seen that 18th century aristocrats encouraged a love of luxury. To satisfy them, artists created works of beauty and gaiety in the Rococo style. We have also talked of the 18th century faith in orderliness and in reason above all. 18th century philosophers viewed the world as a perfectly working machine, like a fine clock. They looked upon God as a kind of watchmaker in the sky, overseeing the complex workings of his orderly creation.